So the translation of text 27 is... A person who perfectly meditates on me acquires my nature of being the supreme ruler and controller. His order, like mine, can never be frustrated by any means. Purport by disciples of Srila Prabhupada. By the command of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the entire creation is moving, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita. This material nature is working under my direction, O son of Kunti, and is producing all moving and unmoving beings. By its rule, this manifestation is created and annihilated again and again. Similarly, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given his command that people all over the world should take to Krishna consciousness. The sincere devotees of the Lord should go all over the world repeating the Lord's command. In this way, they can share in his mystic opulence of giving orders that cannot be counteracted. I'm going to say a couple things and then we'll go to the next verse. Om Agyana Timirandasya Jana Gyana Jana. Salakaya Chaksu Unmalitanyena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Jaitam Sarito Pangor Mamamanda Matergati Matsarvasa Patambojo Radha Madhana Mohano. Keshva, he just read that verse from the Bhagavad Gita and it had background arrangement. He said that Krishna, he mentioned background arrangement. So these things are very subtle, and in this part of the Bhagavatam, we should take note of that. Hear how he perfectly meditates. So of course we can think of 647, Yoginam Api Sarvesham, that of all the yogis, he's the topmost, he's always thinking of Krishna. And here, he acquires my nature. So there's an interesting verse about this. Sometimes Krishna consciousness seems complicated, and sometimes it seems simple. Because of my nature, I'm going to have to present it as very simple, even though I may present it in a complicated way. So it's actually very simple. Basically, to boil it down, can you live without love? Kind of a trick transcendental question. But actually, we don't. We die a slow, miserable, painful death over and over again. That's what we're doing in the meantime. I sometimes make puns out of things like that. That this time when you're not with Krishna, it's just mean. All right. So I was going to read 13th chapter verse number 19, because here's the simplicity, even though it... Because the subject matter is so confidential, Krishna never interferes with our independence. So it's always written in such a sensitive and gentle way that one actually has to be sincerely looking for the answer. Otherwise, he won't see it, even though it's right in front of him. It says, thus, the field of activities, the body, knowledge and the knowable have been summarily described by me. Only my devotees can understand this thoroughly. and thus obtain to my nature. So once again, the simplicity is what's being brought up is the field of activities, the bodily conception of life, how this bodily conception of life is our distraction. And it's arranged in such a way, Krishna says in the, well, it's been explained in the Sri Upanishad, text number 8, that Krishna is fulfilling everyone's desires since time immemorial. But the timing on that is quite subtle. And sometimes people say that you can't find Krishna if you run at the speed of the mind. But even the mind is under the control of Krishna. So your intention and your sincerity and your purity is what is being worked on in meditation. So meditation, concentration, eliminating other ideas. And if you notice, in the Vedic literature is put together Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. So meditation is actually in the Abhideya, which means you're doing something based on the Sambandha. On your knowledge, now you're doing something with a goal, Prayojana. And one side issue that comes up when you're reading these verses is that if this is all that's available, sometimes we take things for granted that someone's got a call. Sometimes we take things for granted, the information that Prabhupada has brought, but he has upgraded, Srila Prabhupada has brought an upgrade to all the information that was presently not even available, or even if it was available in different ways. So these mystic powers, they may sound quite extraordinary and wonderful, but only until one hears the Srimad Bhagavatam. The Srimad Bhagavatam, what's that verse? Is it 1335? It's almost the last verse in the Bhagavatam. That other Puranas, they seem quite wonderful only until the Srimad Bhagavatam makes its appearance. So we're getting an upgrade. If things that weren't available, they're now available by Prabhupada's mercy and Lord Chaitanya Radharani. They're giving this highest understanding. So here, getting back to this point of it can obtain to Krishna's nature. So this is also in this verse here. They acquire my nature of being the supreme ruler and controller. So we look at Bhagavad Gita 2:46, because we were talking about how Keshe said background arrangement. So this background arrangement that's going on is spoken of a little bit. The background arrangement in 2:46 is, all the purposes served by a small well can at once be served by the great reservoirs of water. Similarly, all the purposes of the Vedas can be served by one who knows the purpose behind them. And what's the purpose? 15:15, Krishna says, by all the Vedas I am to be known. And then, of course, Bhakti mam abhijananti, Krishna is only known by bhakti. So you can connect one to the other and you're on your way. So of course, all the purposes of small wells in India, I was told that they have some wells that are for washing your clothes. They have some wells that are for cooking. And they have some wells that people use for bathing. So there's many different wells, and they all have their different purposes. But if there's a nice river that's running by, then they bathe in the river, they wash their clothes in the river. So everything can be done for that. And To meditate on Krishna, here it's being explained here that they perfectly meditates. So of course this is the Abhideya, so we know there's some bandha has to be there. Okay. And then, so subtly it says, the material nature is working under my direction. So he understands now, because we just read that 13:19 verse that was explaining, he sees how the material energy is working. He already has that vision. Because when you're meditating, you're active in a kind of a prajna way. Prajna is a word that's used in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita quite often. And it's also explaining about a state of being by which your knowledge is becoming revealed, by which your knowledge is expanding. So in this state of consciousness, I just thought of the verse in Nectar of Instruction text 8, where it gives a list of remembrance of your smarnam, that it says your remembrance in the beginning, it's interrupted at intervals because we're in the process of surrendering. We're dissolving the subtle body by the process of accepting and rejecting things that are favorable and things that are unfavorable. So this process of remembering the intervals means that there's times that you forget again, but as you're in the anartha nivritti stage under the orders of the spiritual master, when you forget, it comes with a little reminder, a subtle reminder. Hey, you know you're forgetting right now. This is that material energy that's working. You may want to watch how it's working instead of getting involved with it. So you get other instructions along with your, it's not complete forgetfulness. So then it proceeds uninterrupted, because if you're forgetting but remembering at the same time, you're not really forgetting. You're dissolving. You're perceiving it quite similar to the way that these verses are explaining here, this subtle mysticism. You're actually getting to see the background of Krishna. It's like if you went to a movie. Some people watch the movies, and sometimes if you're in California, you can go to a place like Universal Studios, and they'll take you on a tour, and they'll show the director. Some of the buildings don't even have a back. They're just a front. And they'll take you around, and they'll show you all the ways that the magic of movies is creating the vicarious experience for you to absorb yourself into. But you're seeing it, but you're not in the movie, and you're not watching the movie. You're getting a special observation. So in our progression in Krishna consciousness, even in our forgetful stage, we're still remembering, but that's called the clearing stage. So as that's clearing, because once you're rejected enough to indicate that you're really serious about it, it doesn't need to come back again. It's not arbitrary. It's there for a particular reason. So then your remembrance proceeds without being interrupted. And then what happens when it's not being interrupted? You can get thickened, absorbed. It's not being broken anymore. So if you're there longer, more things start happening. And then I think at that time it's called meditation. You had your book out. Is this correct? Oh, it's still up. What is it? The five stages of remembrance. Remembrance begins first. It's interrupted at intervals. Then it proceeds uninterrupted and becomes, which means acceptance. So in other words, there we are. Thank you. It's we're forgetting, but because of our sadhana and our sincerity, Krishna is acting in a different capacity. 10:10, he's given us the remembrance and the intelligence how to come to him. So he's showing us the scripture, these points of that this is Maya. You recognize the Maya. So if you're accepting the good instructions, that's a kind of a purport to 10:10. He gives you the intelligence, but you still have to accept it. So you accept it, and then what happens? It becomes... Okay. So it becomes thicker, and it turns into, is it absorption and then meditation? It's written two different ways. Which is? Remembrance and then? Okay, maybe it's the next paragraph. I can look at it myself. So there's these five stages of progressive smarana. Not the other one, but this one here where it talks about. So this meditation, it's thicker, and it's not being broke anymore. So this is what's happening. Just like he says, he sees his material natures working. He can see it. Because he's not so much absorbed in it anymore. So here it's being said that with Lord Chaitanya's kind of automatic program, that this Krishna consciousness, chanting Hare Krishna, it's all working so wonderfully. So we're going to read now text 28. We can read that all together. This is 11:15:28, back to where we were. We ready? Okay. Someone started nicely. So maybe we could read the word for word. Maybe Keisha, could you read the word for word with the microphone?
Madbhakta.
Madbhakta.
My devotion to me.
My devotion to me.
Shuddha sattvasya.
Shuddha sattvasya.
Of one whose existence is purified.
One whose existence is purified.
Yoginaha.
Yoginaha.
Of a yogi.
Of a yogi.
Dharana viduhu.
Dharana viduhu.
Who knows the process of meditation.
Who knows the process of meditation.
Tasya.
Tasya.
Of him.
Of him.
Traikaliki. Functioning in three phases of time. Namely past, present and future.
Namely past, present and future.
Buddhi. Intelligence.
Intelligence.
Janma mrityu. Birth and death.
Birth and death.
Upabrimhita.
Including. Translation to that is a yogi who has purified his existence by devotion to me and who has thus perfectly knows the process of meditation, obtains knowledge of past, present, and future, and can therefore see the birth and death of himself and others. Nice vision, huh? Purport. After having explained the 8 primary and 10 secondary mystic perfections of yoga, the Lord now explains the 5 inferior potencies. Okay, I'm going to go back to the verse there. The yogi who has purified his existence by devotion to me and who thus perfectly knows the process of meditation, obtains knowledge of past, present, and future. He can therefore see birth and death of himself and others. Okay, so if we recall, Krishna explains in chapter 13 again, verse 8 through 12, that there's a process of knowledge. And of course, this process of knowledge, Prabhupada is explaining, is how to come out of the field of activities. It's not an interaction of the 24 elements that have been explained. In other words, we're 1861 says we're situated on a machine made of the material energy. So Most of us are identified with the machine, but this machine is running on the material energy being directed by Krishna. He's directing the wanderings running in the background. So this machine, we're gradually understanding, is made of these modes of nature coming through the Mahatattva, the Pradhan, manifesting the earth, water, fire, air, ether, my intelligence. Those are false ego. That's the warehouse items. They're put together, potato head. They're all stuck together on the fragrance of the living entity. And as he gets purified by not performing fruitive activities, as one is what he's not doing, what he is doing is devotionally meditating on Krishna, understanding Krishna's purpose, he gets to see the whole purpose of the material energy. And here, in that verse 13:8 through 12, one of the points that Prabhupada mentions, there's 20 items that are mentioned there, and one of them is perceives the evil of birth, death, disease, and old age. He sees that. So here, he's also pointing out that he sees that too. This yogi is also seeing the same process of knowledge because he's meditating in the Abhideya, which is his functioning in knowledge. He has knowledge, and now he's doing those activities in knowledge, which takes him out of the ignorance. Wherever there's Krishna, it's like the sun. Maya is like darkness. He's not in darkness. But this is the Vigyan stage where he's seeing it. This is, there's an intrigue, quite fascinatingly, an intrigue to this love between the living entity and Krishna that he can't just tell you, the butler did it, like in a mystery, what do they call it, rahasya. There's a mystery there that the living entity is gradually having these things revealed to him, and there's a wonderful sweetness in that because as he surrenders more, he can see his independence and how special this independence is because it's required for his love for Krishna. So it's supreme. Supreme. And he sees these different items. So then he surrenders more or he levels off. He stops for a while and then by his association, he either progresses more because once one starts to understand, he starts running faster. What's that speed of running faster called? Is lolium. It's an intensity of his... I had a thought, I'll bring it up. Prabhupada once said that we fly our own plane. Other people, you have to do this yourself. No one else can do it for you. You're doing it yourself. So I, in the way that sometimes I think, I made a cutout of an airplane. And in an airplane, you have gauges, a lot more gauges. If you've ever seen people that fly airplanes, they have lots and lots of gauges. Like your car, your driver of your car, it has four or five, heat, fuel, speed, battery, a couple different things like oil pressure. So in airplanes, there's many more. So I took the gauges because in that same verse that we mentioned earlier, 13:8 through 12, the process of knowledge, there's these 20 items. Prabhupada says you can gauge your advancement. So gauge, all right. So I put gauges on flying my own plane. And here's the gauges that you can gauge your advancement as you're flying your plane. And some planes have a couple more gauges than cars. One of the gauges is called a G-force. It's your how many times your increase or decrease in speed. It's different than your speedometer where it tells you the speed that you're going at. This only measures the change of the speed. Like when you step on the gas real hard in the car, it pushes you back back when cars used to have accelerators, used to push you back into your seat. So that's a G-force. Or if you make a sharp turn, it pushes you against the side of the car or into the middle of the car. That's also momentum. That's the G-force. So in Krishna consciousness, since I put labels on these, I would call it your one end of the gauge is your lala samayi, your lolium, your intensity of how much are you ready to do today to make advancement. And on the other side of the gauge, because like on your fuel gauge, it says F and E, empty and full. So this one has lala samayi and lolium on one side, and on the other side I'd put niyamagraha. I did it yesterday, I'll do it today. You know, it's the same thing. I know how to do it. I'll get it done on time to do my other stuff. But you're not focusing on the intensity that's required to... There's another example that comes to mind then is called the threshold of gravity. When we were growing up, we learned these things. When they were talking about going into outer space, they couldn't get into outer space unless they hit the threshold of gravity. I think it's like 7 miles a minute or something like that, or a second. And if you're going a little slower, you can't break away from the gravitational pull of the Earth, and you always stay here. Even though you're going so fast, you have to go faster to get through this particular potency. So in Krishna consciousness also, we have to see that we're making advancement. So that was just a tangent on that point. All right, so so back to the verse here. He can see the birth and death of himself. So in knowledge, we also get to see that. We get to see the cause and the effect that's... in the Vedas, by all the Vedas are to be known. So, but 13.5 also mentions that the Vedas has been put together with all reason to approach you reasonably with understanding cause and effect. If you do this, then this will happen. Now those are very important points because other religions in the Jewish tradition, they call it laws of God. These are laws because you can't see the laws. They're subtle. Just like how many things can you see that are in this room that you can't see? Well, we can understand that are here that we can't see. Like they figured out how to vibrate something in the air, a wave, and send it through the air with such accuracy that they can put sound in it, and they called it radio. There's radio waves in this room. How are they working? You can't see them, it's air. But in the air, there's ether. And in the ether, they can vibrate something there that you can't see so accurately that the other side can receive that vibration that's in the air, turn it into a sound that you can listen to, and it's accurate. Is that amazing or what? I don't know, it's amazing to me. And of course now there's so many things in there and they're all working on vibrations. So you get to hear, now they also have sound, light pictures, television, where they can vibrate things in the air. It's right here. It's in this air right here. There's things vibrating that if you have the right receiver, they can turn that into a picture. And you can look at it and it'll, you actually can experience something that's someplace else. So the sound vibration that we have here, this is not coming through the ether. Well, maybe partially, but it's coming from the spiritual sky. There's also, ether is sometimes translated as sky. You know, this air in here, sky. So there's a spiritual sky that also has subtler vibrations, spiritual vibrations that are here, and you can tune into them. That's done through meditation based on the knowledge of how to make this connection through the mercy of the spiritual masters, potency and disciplic succession. And you actually, it's yoga, the word's been used too much lately, but it means the connection. So in other words, you can have an extension cord, it doesn't do anything. It has to be plugged in. So somebody can have two extension cords. In fact, sometimes I use that for an example for the when I teach the kids, that you have two extension cords. They look the same, but you have to tell there's a different potency if one end of it is plugged in and the other extension cord is not plugged in. So this disciplic succession means it's plugged in. You're getting the exact transcendental vibration, because people can cheat you. If you can't see something, you can be cheated. How would anybody believe that there's radio waves or television in the air here? We just have been sold on it, and we've seen it. But how many people understand it? But still, you turn on your TV, you turn on the radio, and you hear things. So you don't have to be a technician. These yoga perfections are a little bit like the technicians. They're being trained how technically this works. And there are people that if you're phone breaks or your radio or television breaks, they can fix it. You take it there and they say, oh, I was trained for a while to fix things. So they explain to you how it works. And it's basically, it's mystical in one sense and it's technical in another. You just go through the process, you see where it went off, and then you put it back on and it works. It's actually quite simple. So the same point here, there explaining how these different things work. You will see the process of birth and death, right? By 13, 8 through 12, Bhagavad Gita. You see that, okay, the cause and effect. You're seeing God's laws, which means you're seeing Him. But the unique feature in Krishna consciousness, that Prabhupada's giving us, is his bhava artha. He's not just giving us the technical information, because if you remember, the preliminary point that I made is one can't live without love. He just dies in a mean time. But at the same time, you have a covering potency that works so nicely that you think, oh, I'm happy. You ever see a puppy? They're wagging their tails. They're so happy. You're a dog. You know, you just took, you had the ability in your human form of life of going back to Godhead, but you became so attached to the sensual platform that now you're a dog. You know, so you pet him, say, hurry, bull, you know. He wags his tail, rolls over. How about a tummy rub? You know, so we have some independence. But if you analyze it, how much of it are we conscious of? Most people are forced to act helplessly. How much is in our control? How much is out of our control? How many of our desires are coming from the bodily conception of life, from our karma, from our destiny? How much we can become free from that by the mercy of the spiritual master. He accepts our karma and he gives us devotional service, which is the choice to do something to please him, which is not based on the bodily conception of life. At least in the beginning, it may have some contamination of that, but still the samsiddhi haritoshanam. If you, all your activities, if they're aimed at pleasing Krishna, which now we understand is by pleasing the spiritual master, you'll make advancement, and you'll come to see all these things, and the situation, that's lots of verses. On the third canto, the position that one's accepted becomes revealed to him. Lord Kapila Dev explains that in the 27th chapter. You get to see the position that you've accepted by accepting a material body. So that vision is there, but it's only there for a short time. Krishna gives it to you, he says, now what are you going to do with it? Because he's not going to be the cup in the mirror, I call it. Spiritual master may do that, but Krishna doesn't. When I was young, I used to drive too fast, and I had a sports car with the top down in country roads, and you always go much faster than the law says you should. So when you're driving along, all of a sudden a police car pulls behind you. You notice a change in your respiration and heart rate. So the only way to control that a little bit is you look at your mirror and see if he's still there. And then from the mirror, it goes to the speedometer. From the speedometer, it goes to the mirror. From the mirror to the speedometer, and you're caught into this little loop. Boom, 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 boom. And then you're sweating a little bit. Hope he didn't get there before you saw him. He saw you. But then he turns off at the next street. Ah, what do you feel? Sigh, relief, downshift. Off you go. Speeding again. So Krishna, he says, I'm not going to be the cop in the mirror. So he gives you that for a little minute, for a moment, and sees if you're ready or not. As they surrender me, I award you accordingly. So if you are, and you flush in the digestion of the subtle body in the process of bhakti yoga, you reject you saw what he was showing you, and you reject your connection to the cause of having another material body. You're understanding it. It's being shown to you for a little time, and then if you accept it, it becomes part of your vijnan meditation, and you're now rejected, and you're moving along, and that's in the vijnan stage of pragya. All these things are happening one after another, and that keeps you absorbed in your meditation, which is being perfected to get you once and for all out of this influence of the material energy. So I'll stop there and see if there was anything coherent.
You said that meditation is essentially an action, and therefore it comes under Abhideya. Can you elaborate on that? Because normally when you sit down to meditate, you're addressing your state of being. It's not considered, an end of action.
Well, actually, it came to me today. It's a fresh off the press, right around sunrise. And I was noticing that in Gayatri Mantra, all the acharyas explain it as Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. They break it into three divisions, isn't it? So, vidmehe, try to know, that's your sambandha. Try to know. Then, what are you going to do with that knowing part? So, it's action, but it's action of your subtle nature. It's a subtle, because now you don't need, actually, it carries into your gross activities, because meditation isn't broken. Remember, we're just reading about this remembrance. It's in the beginning, it's interrupted, but then you're knowing how to stay. Shanai, shanai. Anybody know that verse? Shanai, shanai. 625. I think I'm saying it right. Those are the first two words. It means step by step. Step by step, one should fix himself in trance by means of his intelligence. So this intelligence is interacting with us, and you actually see that your actions are now, it goes from subtle to gross. Most people, Prabhupada would say the animals run on four legs, we run on four wheels, but we run after the same things. Eating, sleeping, mating, defending. So devotee, he runs out on book distribution. He runs on parades. He runs. So you go back to 8-7. Mother Mati asks this question quite often. That's always that 8-7. How do you do two things at once? Well, they're not two things at once. It's one. 8-7 is, you don't have that open. You have something else open. I'll just read 8-7 once. I only get numbers. So, 8-7 is, therefore, tasmat sarveshu kaleshu. So, tasmat sarveshu. Sarveshu means all, right? Tasma, therefore, all the time, Kaleshu's time, therefore, Arjuna, you should always think of me in the form of Krishna. At the same time, carry out your prescribed duty of fighting with your activities dedicated to me, your mind and intelligence fixed on me. You'll obtain me without a doubt. So how can that be said that that's not a meditation? He's fighting, and in fact, we take the word samadhi, and sometimes we don't use it so much. It's more of a other group may have it. But Prabhupada explains it, gives it an upgrade, that there's two types of samadhi. There's in move, where you're not doing anything, and then there's practical samadhi, where you're doing everything while you're still in samadhi. Who could say that Prabhupada, was he not remembering Krishna? Was he not in samadhi when he was doing everything? Astatara Satta. There's different ways that it explained in his Jayam Vishnu Pad Paramahansa, these different aspects that were, if you look on that one, 8.7, it says, so you're always thinking of Krishna. So how do you always think of Krishna? That's what we're learning. That's called sadhana bhakti. And sadhana bhakti, how do they describe all the rules and regulations or to serve what purpose? Yeah. So this is, we're talking about remembering Krishna, and then there's stages of remembering Krishna. At the beginning, remembrance is interrupted at intervals. Then it's not interrupted. Oh, you have something you want to say. Then it proceeds uninterrupted. So here we're talking about that stage that's coming where how can he fight and not be interrupted in remembering Krishna? It's because the knowledge has a unifying effect. This 7.19, Vasudev Sarvamiti, everything is actually Krishna. Para Asya Shakti, how you say it? Yeah, that's it. Para Shakti. Oh, so those two words are one word. Para Asya Shakti. Did I answer your question?
Parasya Shakti, Vividaiva, Shuyuti.
So everything is just Krishna's energy, and he knows the purpose behind it, so he can see how everything is working. It's like technically back to fixing things and mysticism. It's the electricity, but it can be turned into a heater or an air conditioner. And then the air conditioner is not just an air conditioner. It's got 1,000 parts that are all working to make it cold, and it's got 1,000 parts to make it heat. So he sees, I call it schematic, that's a technical term for how it works. It shows you in symbols how each switch and each load and each the current is running and what each part does, and they have their own language like that. So the same way that's working is the way this world. It's very mechanical, but it has an intention. Just like if you bought an air conditioner and only blew heat the whole time, it may be broken or you may not know what it was. It may be the heat, or you just have it switched on the wrong mode. So this... we have our energy is being switched into this material energy, and we switch it back to, I forgot what your question was. Oh, so the practical samadhi is that he's got it switched where everything now is Krishna. He's seeing that para. Yes, sir. Yeah, he's seeing that. You have something, or did you? Oh.
So if meditation is an action...
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's a question. Abhideya. Yeah, it because the meditation for a devotee, just like the 10 offenses, it's not that you do all the 10 offenses while you're chanting. It's running in the background. It's not that in the middle of your chanting you have to blaspheme devotees. It's something you do when you're not chanting. Of course, you're supposed to be chanting all the time, Sadahari. So... like that, it's what's running in the background all the time. A devotee gets to observe. He gets to observe his mind. That's also a vijnana stage. He observes his own mind, and that's usually where all those wonderful prayers of "I'm such a rascal," like the Gopinath prayers, and that he's observing both things. How can he be thinking of Gopinath and at the same time thinking he's a rascal? It's a very elevated state of meditation, to be in meditation. But at the same time, everything is still available. But he's making his choice moment by moment. And that's another thing. You make a mischoice and you get thrown and covered. But because of our sadhana, we come back again to... We're in such a merciful condition right now that... Prabhupada was asked about that 9:30 verse. How can a fall down be accidental? You know, it just doesn't seem practical to say an accidental fall down. And Prabhupada gave such a wonderful, liberal understanding of that. He says it was accidental if you came back. Ajumil took him what, 60 years to come back, but they consider it accidental. You know, he did all these things in his Maya condition, but because he came back, of course he had some help, and Krishna's helping us also. So we're in this stage that we make so many mistakes, like when it says in the beginning it's interrupted at intervals. So those interruptions, that's a source of great humility and prayer that, oh, Krishna, when I'm not thinking of you, I don't want to start crying. So I'm not going to get too much of that. We're horrible when we're not thinking of Krishna. So that's why we have to think of Krishna all the time and have good sadhana and have association. So you can do it, and it's happening. And what's taking place right now, like Nasapraesha, Adbhadraeshu, Nityabhadra, it's almost to nil, because this other part, this is what's happening in their Vijnana stage. I got rid of almost all your reactions, but now in this stage where you're seeing both the Maya and the Krishna at the same time, your independence, and you're making your choices, is so valuable for the depth of your realization. And that's what's happening. You know, we're in that stage, and otherwise we may not be meditating sufficiently.
The word samadhi has been largely misunderstood. Yes, sir. People think samadhi means some death-like situation. The word samadhi literally means sama and dhi. Sama means equanimous and dhi means buddhi, intellect. If you reach that kind of equanimous state of intellect, it is known as samadhi. The basic functioning of the intellect is always to set things apart. It is because intellect is functioning that you can discriminate cold versus warm. If you transcend that intellect, you become equanimous.
Become what?
Equanimous.
Equal. And of course, we talked about that in a verse or two ago about, or maybe it's coming up, about they don't get affected by hot or cold. They don't get affected by these things. So. This is, and of course, we're talking about perfect meditation, so it's only nice to offer honorable mention to samadhi. Where did you read that from?
In the Bhagavad Gita also.
Oh, really?
There's also, you say a couple times that...
You said a couple times about the purpose of life or anything has a meaning that we live for love. Or love is like a freedom or main ingredients. Otherwise, there's no meaning of anything.
There's just death.
Srila Prabhupada was on the roof where Harikesh Maharaj and serious discussion about the importance of preaching was going on. And Ridhananda Maharaj emphasized that he was watching the whole situation, and there was two kittens were playing. You probably heard that story. Mm. Two kittens were playing.
near Prabhupada. It's kind of diverting their serious discussion. But at one point, Tukadena was playing and fell in Prabhupada's lap. And they thought, that's it. This
is horrible. Ridhananda gives a comment on that.
But what did Prabhupada say?
Even there's love.
Yes.
In this lower species.
You can see that love still here, even amongst this animal.
So if you... One time I tried to memorize things. I have a hard time memorizing Sanskrit. So I tried to memorize the Adi 1-6, the first four words. Sri Radhaya Pranaya Mahima. So in order to memorize things, you have to say it over and over again. Generally, that's how it works. So I started noticing if you repeat that, Sri Radhaya Pranaya Mahima, what is the glories of Radharani's love? What are the glories of Radharani's love? That was an extension, that love. When you see love, you connect, you make all the connections, and it's the glories of Radharani's love, even in a kitten, you know. And then you start, there was one time they asked, what do you see? You know, like they have that inkblot test. What do you see? So everybody sees things differently according to their intention. So Lord Chaitanya said he wanted to see the glories of Radharani's love. So if you also, like someone asked me one time to look at my watch and tell me who the manufacturer was. So I looked at my watch. I said the manufacturer was, I think at that time it was Casio. So they said, what time is it? So I said, I don't know. He said, well, you just looked at your watch. How come you don't know what time it is? So I said, I wasn't looking to see what time it was. I was looking to see who the manufacturer was. So he pointed out, you only see what you're looking for. So when you're looking around, there's some nice verses for verse swallowers that a businessman, he only sees, he goes to a forest to only see opportunities for business. Someone who's lusty, he only sees opportunities. So whatever your intention is, that's what you see. So we're in line to get this prema anjana, varanya bargo devasya dhimahi. Dhimahi, oh, there we go again. So there's a functional dhimahi. Do you do that nice thing, Pran, with samadhi? Can you do the same thing with dhimahi? Mahi. Okay, well, there's so much confidentiality that Krishna explains, but he has a special feature that we're given that if it doesn't fit, it just rolls off. How much can you grab? How much is relevant from what being heard that you can take and apply? And how much just, was it, I call it duck oil, you know, lotus wine. It just rolls off your back. It has to, how to integrate this information, how to take, to slow down enough. What do they say in American? Hold your horses, which I often thought was a Vedic concept, that horses are the senses. So control your senses, hold your, so they must have known that when they say hold your horses, because they're saying control yourself. You know. Okay. Did you get your question? I forgot. You have a question. Did someone bring the microphone? Do.
Why didn't Janashmi have a question?
He always has something to say. She was going to say something. Janashmi can always be the anchor man. Bhagavatam anchor man.
Thank you, Prabhu. You see, your class was simple, but it was very deep. Kept my attention the whole time. Oh, thanks. Very nice.
Thank you.
You know, you were saying that these stages of purity, you know, of surrender, the stages of, you know, getting rid of the anartis and the surrender, the way to remember Krishna. Sometimes I'm trying to do it, you know, I kind of try to force myself to remember, especially when I'm out there. And after a while I give up and I said, okay, Krishna, I'm completely surrendered. And the situation will change so almost drastically, you know, and I was just thinking, I had a plan how this was going to work. But when I put my hands up and I said, okay, Krishna, you take over, I'm surrendered. I don't know if it's just my consciousness, but it looked like the whole situation will change. and things I couldn't, even if I was going to fix it, I couldn't fix it that way. You know, it's completely different.
We get in the way of our own advancement a lot of times. It's like a 922, you know, that Krishna, he carries what you lack and maintains what you... And if you become conscious of me, you'll cross over all the obstacles. Oh, I forgot so many verses I was going to say today. I was going to start at 1854 and take it to 1866. All those are related. 54 was because it talked about time here. Mm-hmm. So you get out of time when you stop hankering and lamenting. Hankering is future time, and lamenting is past, what took place in the past. You're hankering, you're lamenting about what happened in the past, and you're hankering about what's going to happen in the future. So you're in anxiety. So when you stop that, then you became prasanna, joyful. You're seeing all living entities equally. And in that state, you're developing pure devotional service. And then what's the next verse right after that? 1855, that's a famous verse too. Who knows 1855? Anybody got 1855? Who knows 1850? I just use numbers. I'm sorry. I should learn all these verses. Yeah. Could you say it a little louder? So that's 1855. And that's a very famous verse. So you can see where he's going with this. 1854 is, okay, you're giving up hankering and lamenting. You're surrendering. That's a very important part. And then because you've done that, you're entering into pure devotional service. So what should you do in pure devotional service? He gives you right away. He says, one can understand me as I am, as the Supreme Person of Godhead, only by devotional service. And once in full consciousness in me by such devotion, he can enter the kingdom of God. Okay, you're on your way. So then what's he say? What do you do then? What's your abhidhaya? What's your meditation? Don't engage in all kinds of activities. There you're back. He said, my devotee, my pure devotee, is under my protection. You remember the protection verse? Is that what 914 is? It says that they're under my protection, the devotees, under the internal potency. Reach the eternal perishable abode by my grace. So you're in good hands now. He says, in all activities, what should you do? Just depend upon me. How should I work? Work always under my protection. In such devotional service, be fully conscious of me. So you're conscious of Krishna, you're working for Krishna, you're depending on Krishna, and you're fully conscious of Krishna in your devotional service. So where's this going? Okay, he says, well, if you can do that, if you become conscious of me, then you'll cross over all the obstacles of additional life by my grace. However, okay, here's the other side. However, you don't work in such consciousness, but act through the false ego, not hearing me, you'll be lost. What happens if I'm lost? Oh, okay, here's what happens if you're lost. If you do not act according to my directions, do not fight, then you'll be falsely directed. By your nature, you'll have to engage in warfare. So if you don't listen to me, you're still going to do the same stuff, but you're going to do it in a bondage way. You're going to do it because that's... So under illusion, you're now declining to act according to my direction. I guess he went the wrong way. But compelled by the work born of your own nature, you'll act all the same. Okay, so what should I do? Just know that both of these are me. He says, the Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna, and he's directing the wanderings of all living entities who are situated on a machine built of material energy. So either way, you're going to be functioning. So then, all right, let me think about that. Okay, you had enough time. O Skandabara, surrender unto him utterly. By his grace you will obtain transcendental peace. So you felt that right away, the peace and the supreme abode. Thus I have explained to you, now it's still more confidential. This is really confidential you're getting now. Deliberated on it fully. Think about this. Now do what you wish to do. All right. So then he says, well, all right, I'm thinking about it. I'll give you a couple more points. He says, because you're my very dear friend, I'm speaking to you this supreme instruction, the most confidential of all knowledge. Hear from me, for it's your benefit. Okay, you want me to do something now, I can tell. All right, what do you want me to do? always think of me. Become my devotee. Worship me. Offer your homage unto me, and thus you will come to me without fail. I promise you this because you're my very dear friend. What's that look like? Okay. Sarvadhamaprajya, abandon all varieties of religion. Just surrender to me. I shall deliver you from all your reactions. Do not fear. So it's such a nice connection between 1854 and 1866. And you just pointed that out. Thank you so much. Because you just did, you did that by what you... See, we do these things automatically on Sankirtan. You just did the Draupadi, the two-handed Draupadi. Krishna, help. That's an abbreviation. But that's it. So thank you. That's another type of... I have a yoga system I call thank you yoga, because yoga means to connect to Krishna. So in these moments like that, if you thank Krishna, all the information comes through your mind that you just did like 10, 20 verses just by agreeing to let Krishna can do that. All right. We did run a long overtime. Thank you.
Wonderful, wonderful class. Thank you.
Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.